Hello friends, I'm Campbell. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today we are on day two of our newsworthy clips, and we have an interesting article today about small animals like bees and houseflies. Well, before we get into our article, let me welcome our friends in the studio. How are you today, Albert?
I'm good, and it's good to be back.
It's good to have you. And Linda, how are you today?
I'm great, and I'm very glad to be back.
Good. Well, let me ask you guys, are you guys clean? I know Albert is.
What?
Albert really, really, really cares about being clean.
Yes, I would say I am clean. I like being clean.
That's good. I like being physically clean. About whether I'm neat, I'm not very neat. I think
yeah.
I can be kind of messy.
That is a different thing because I will be clean, you know, keeping things clean and not dirty.
Right.
But not necessarily tidy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'll never put clothes on the floor,
right.
But they might be strewn, like, all over my bed.
How do you sleep on your bed?
Well,
you push them on the floor.
No, I wouldn't push them on the floor, but, you know, then I put them on the chair.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly, you know, in a nice, tidy order. But
no,
they're clean.
I understand. You know, I'm not dirty. I hate being dirty. Like, I would never leave, like, a box of pizza lying out on the floor for, like, weeks. That would be gross to me. But I am
messy.
You
eat it off the floor.
No.
As we've discovered
sometimes.
Yesterday.
I will evaluate the dirtiness of the floor. But you know what? Sometimes a little bit of bacteria can be good for you, as
Ooh,
we discussed yesterday.
Right.
All right. Well, Albert, you are both neat and tidy and clean, right?
I would like to think so.
Yes. You should see, if you come visit Studio Classroom and you visit our cubicles, you see Albert's is like immaculate. And Linda and I feel like mine's the worst. It's like stuff all over the place. Well, anyway, today we are talking about staying clean. And, you know, for us humans, most of the time, cleanliness isn't a matter of survival, right? You know, it's if you've got a little bit of something on you, it's not going to kill you,
mm-hmm.
you know. I try to keep my children clean, you know, especially mm-hmm. if they're wearing nice clothes. I don't like them dribbling food all over their mm-hmm. clothes and staining it, but, you know, it's a little hard for them because they still
right,
don't have that motor
kids.
Control.
Yeah. Right. They're kids, you know.
So, you know, I've had to
naturally get dirty.
It's okay for them to be a little dirty, right? But for some smaller creatures in this world, staying clean is a matter of survival.
Exactly.
And we're going to be learning about that today. So, let's read our article. Our article is on page 23 of your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. So please do turn to page 23 and let's get started.
Many smaller animals clean themselves to survive, study finds. For small animals like bees and houseflies, keeping clean is a matter of life or death. A mosquito flying through the fog of the early morning may find its wings so weighed down by water droplets that it can no longer search for food. A honeybee can easily pick up 5 times its body weight in pollen over the course of a day. It's all relative, said Guillermo Amador, a doctoral student at Georgia Institute of Technology. To us, a particle of dust doesn't mean anything. But if a mosquito accumulates too many of them, it gets too heavy to fly. Amador is the co-author of a recent study that examines the dangers of getting dirty in the natural world, as well as different strategies animals have developed to keep themselves clean. The results could lead to new self-cleaning technologies to keep solar panels and remote camera sensors dust-free.
All right, so we have a very interesting article here. Today we're talking about some small animals and how keeping clean is a matter of life or death. What does that phrase mean, something being a matter of life or death?
Well, if it's literal, then it really is a matter of survival, like
mm-hmm.
living or dying. But if you look at it from a figurative point of view, it's just something that's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really going to die,
right.
but you consider it very dire or serious.
Yes, very critical.
Or
some people might say, it's a matter of life or death that I get the newest iPhone.
Then,
I can relate.
ignore them.
Okay, but here we are really talking about literally, it is a matter of life or death, right? Mm-hmm. So we get an example here of a mosquito flying through a fog. What does that say?
I just want to say, when I heard this, I'm like totally not empathetic. I'm like, you know, mosquitoes, I don't like mosquitoes. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's perfectly fine with me.
Yes. I actually was reading it, and I'm like thinking about, well, how can we use this? How can we use this to get rid of these mosquitoes?
Yeah. Fog. More fog.
Maybe I need to fog up my house.
Right.
Something.
Yeah. Actually, mosquitoes are my most detested animal or living creature. But we mentioned bees, and we'll talk about them later on, too. Bees are... I love bees. You know, they're not my favorite animal or insect, but they do so much.
They do.
As we'll see.
They do. They earn their keep in this world.
Yes, they definitely do.
Nice.
Not like houseflies or mosquitoes. Houseflies I have no admiration for, but bees are good.
But, you know, I recently took a trip to a tea farm, and the farmer there, he told me that... because he's an organic tea farm. So he was telling me that if you want to evaluate whether a tea farm is actually organic, you need to look for insects, right? So the best are fireflies, because fireflies can only survive in the cleanest of environments.
They're very sensitive.
Yes. So, fireflies, and then dragonflies, and then bees and butterflies, and then, you know, the bottom tier is houseflies, just flies, right? So if you're at a market... and you're looking at the fruits and vegetables, if you see flies circulating around some fruits and vegetables...
Avoid?
No, actually, you go, because that's a sign that it's organic. Because they'll avoid they'll avoid fruits and vegetables that have pesticides on it, right? So if you see house flies circling around fruits and vegetables, you actually know that it's kind of organic. There are no pesticides.
Or it could tell you other things as well. It's rotting.
Perhaps. Okay, so back to the article. A mosquito flying through the fog of the early morning may find its wings so weighed down by water droplets that it can no longer search for food. Oh, poor mosquito. All right, but honeybees. We like honeybees. What does it say about honeybees?
Well, a honeybee can pick up to 5 times its body weight in pollen. So, as Guillermo says, it's all relative.
Right. So for us, you know, a little bit of dust might not... Actually, it probably wouldn't do anything to us, you know. But for these little creatures, because of their body size, it's relative, right? So 5 times its body weight. Can you imagine you accumulating 5 times your body weight, right? So
that would crush me.
Right? So, I mean, we're all, you know, over 100 pounds, right? So over, you know, 50 kilos. So can you imagine having...
250?
250 kilos of stuff on you, 500 pounds of stuff on you.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't be able to move very well.
No,
right?
Not at all.
Right. So if a mosquito accumulates too many particles of dust, again, it's not so bad if it does, right?
So not for the honeybee.
Right. We're so prejudiced. Okay, so
but
if a mosquito...
I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie. It would have been when we were really, really young.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I thought of, how relative things are. Because this family, they get...
Shrunken
to the size of, I think, smaller than an ant. Yeah. And so everything just seems enormous, like things that we didn't think about, you know, weren't any, you know, trouble for us to squash an ant or to kill a fly.
Right.
Now they become these huge, monstrous creatures
in
this world.
And I think of that movie, the Disney movie, A Bug's Life, right?
Oh, yeah.
And how when they're talking, when it starts raining, like the water droplets are like huge.
Yeah.
Like earthquakes.
Yeah. So, yeah. This makes sense. Now, the interesting thing is, why are scientists spending time studying about these things, right? And that's kind of my question, was like, why are we even studying this? And then I realized that there's actually a practical application for us in our lives, right?
I mean, biologists, they would want to study these things.
Yes.
To understand how the world works, you
That's
know?
Right.
The animal kingdom or insect world works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we hear from Guillermo Amador, and Amador is the co-author of a recent study that examines the dangers of getting dirty in the natural world. We don't usually talk about, you know, the dangers of getting dirty,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, again, as we've been emphasizing, for these small creatures, it is dangerous for them to get dirty, and therefore, they have different strategies about how to keep themselves clean. I wish my kids had some strategies for keeping themselves clean, but, you know, I guess I'll just have to wait for that.
Yeah, they'll eventually learn. We humans also have our own strategies.
All right. Well, what's interesting is that, you know, the scientists are not just studying this, as we were saying earlier. There are some actual practical applications for this.
Right. I read further into this, and just like about last year, scientists were looking at sharks. They're mm-hmm. much bigger.
Right.
But the skin pattern on a shark, just based on the arrangement alone, it's able to make it so bacteria and viruses cannot stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cleaner by nature.
Right.
And their scientists are using this for hospitals, so they're going to make tiles and floors with this pattern carved into it.
Right.
So then this way, like, surfaces in hospitals or anywhere else would be cleaner.
Right.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. I think it's just amazing how God created all of this and mm-hmm. thought of it, you know, and we're now just starting to discover just how amazing and how intricate, you know, this world is and, mm-hmm. and our bodies and the animal world, and it's just amazing.
Right, and it continues to be super beneficial for us, even though we're not using the insects or animals directly.
Right.
We can learn from them and take a clue or a hint.
Right, right, exactly. All right, well, let's continue our article in the right-hand column, and let's find out more about what this study says.
The first result we stumbled on is that animals, especially insects, have a lot of hair, Amador said. The research team is not entirely sure why insects are so hairy. One thought is that their densely packed hairs create a water-repellent surface. With more hair comes more surface area, and that makes a furry animal's job of staying particle-free more challenging. To find out how small insects keep themselves clean, the scientists made super slow-motion videos of pollen-covered honeybees grooming themselves. While watching these videos, they noticed that pollen was flying off the honeybees at extremely high speeds. Further examination revealed that the bees were using their legs to bend hairs on their body. When the hairs were released, they snapped back to their upright state. The force of that action flicked the pollen off their bodies. Amador said one of the biggest takeaways of the study for engineers is the idea that hairiness may actually improve cleanliness. He suggests that putting hair-like structures around surfaces we want to protect may prevent accumulation of particles, just like it does in the animal world.
So they found out some interesting things in this study. What is the first result they stumbled on?
That insects have a lot of hair.
Hmm. You don't usually think about that, but I guess it's true, right? They have a lot of hair, and they're not really sure why insects are so hairy. But one thought is that their densely packed hairs can do what?
They can create a water-repellent surface.
And why is that important?
Well, they wouldn't want water to get through their skin or their exterior, because
mm-hmm.
That could cause damage. Just like we don't want, you know, water entering our bodies. I mean, through our skin, like, mm-hmm. we want to drink it. So, for protection.
Yeah. And also, as we were saying earlier, you know, in relative size, a drop of water on our bodies probably wouldn't do anything, but a drop of water on an insect, a bee or a fly or a mosquito, that would probably weigh them down.
Exactly.
You know, so it would be good to have a surface that is water repellent. And water repellent just means that water doesn't stick to it. You know, if you think about like a glass surface, right? When you put water on it, it won't seep into the glass. It kind of causes the water to flow away. Okay. And it says here, with more hair comes more surface area, and that makes a furry animal's job of staying particle-free more challenging. So, how do small insects keep themselves clean? How did scientists figure that out?
Before we get to that, I just want to, just talk about why you think animals have hair, or why even fruit has hair.
Oh, okay.
just having this conversation with a friend yesterday.
Ooh.
And he was saying how he's allergic to certain fruit.
Yeah.
And like strawberries,
fuzzy fruit,
kiwi. Peaches. Yeah. And he was saying, oh, it's fruit that has hair. And I never thought about, I hadn't met anyone before who was allergic to strawberries, because I love strawberries. Like, how can you be allergic to strawberries? But anyway, and so it makes me wonder, like, why does the fruit have hair on it?
And you looked into it?
Well, no.
Oh.
But the article reminded me of it. And so it might be also because it repels water, you know? The fruit, it doesn't want, like, rain seeping into, through its surfaces.
Mm-hmm. For mold to grow, maybe?
Perhaps.
Maybe not.
That would be something interesting to look into.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it, you know?
But animals, like, we have hair to keep us warm.
Yes.
We have hair also to keep us clean, like our eyebrows, our eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the dust particles from going into our hair. So,
and they make us look, it helps us to look so fashionable, too.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like a side benefit, you know?
There's the objective.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. If any of you listeners have any answers for why fruit has hair, you can write us and let us know. That would be something interesting to find out.
Because would they need to stay warm?
Like, does fruit need to stay warm?
No, it does.
Or maybe, yeah. I think it functions as some sort of protective layer.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure, yeah. I eat the kiwi, like, I just...
The entire thing?
Yeah, like an apple.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good for you. Okay, so furry animals, they have a harder job of staying particle-free. Now, again, back to the article, how did the scientists figure out how these small insects keep themselves clean?
Well, they used super slow-motion videos.
Mm-hmm.
They filmed honeybees grooming themselves, and they slowed it down because the insects themselves or the bees themselves are moving super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they noticed that pollen was flying off honeybees at extremely high speeds.
Okay. How did that happen?
So what they were doing, they were using their legs to bend the hairs on their body, and then it was flicking the pollen off of those hairs when it snapped back.
Yeah. So I'm sure you guys never did this because you guys were good students, right? If you think about, like, school cafeterias, right, you take a plastic spoon and you put
bend
like, food
it.
On, you bend it, and you kind of like, boom, you know?
Yeah, I never did that.
But, you know, that kind of concept, like when you kind of, it's like a catapult, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of like that catapult, when you bend it down and it flicks back, it kind of flicks the pollen off of their body. And so that's how the honeybees kept themselves clean. That's really interesting. Now, what is the biggest takeaway of this study?
That hairiness may actually improve cleanliness.
That's good. So, Doris, I think maybe I'm not going to shave from now on.
which is like, it's really, it's just different from what, you know, like, city dwellers, like, society expects people to do. Like, they groom themselves. Like,
right.
If you have a beard, usually associated with, like, dirtiness or,
yeah.
like, unemployment or something.
Yes.
And then nowadays, it's like, oh, you got to shave it clean.
Right. Yeah, you want to be groomed, right?
Do you know why that is, though? Do you guys know why that is?
No. Do you?
We're going to go on a little tangent here.
Okay.
Historically, manliness or adulthood for a man is, like, with the growth of hair, right? It's
yes.
a sign of puberty.
Yes.
So men, like, riding a horses in the outback would not shave. They just let everything grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only until the Roman times where they're like, no, The sign that you're a man is, and you're civilized, is if you take a blade to your face and you basically shave.
Mm.
And so from then, people shaved.
Interesting.
Right. Mm. So different standards of beauty or just what we think of as like a sign of manliness.
Yeah.
Because now, I mean, it's fashionable to have like a goatee or whatever, you know, to have a beard. But again, you know.
But it should be well kept.
Yes.
Yeah, it can't be all wild. But it's interesting. For these smaller animals, hairiness may actually improve cleanliness. And so Amador has a suggestion. What is the suggestion?
He suggests putting hair-like structures around surfaces we want to protect, which may prevent accumulation of particles like dust and other debris, I guess, small stuff, just like in the animal world.
Right.
So if this takes off, in the near future, we would have fuzzy furniture?
Maybe. But what's interesting, though, is earlier it said that a furry animal's job of staying particle-free is more challenging because there's more surface area. So how does that then connect now to being hairy may actually improve cleanliness? What do you guys think?
Well, then we saw in the previous reading that the self-cleaning mechanisms, we can also use that in technology.
Mm-hmm.
So having the hair, like, it increases the surface area, but we can also create methods to maintain the cleanliness of that, still with the example of the animal kingdom.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how this application works. All right, so what do you guys think? What do you think of this article? What was one thing that you learned from today's article, Albert?
Well, that it's all relative. You know, what affects one thing doesn't really affect another. So, you know, some dust on us, it's okay. But for other things, it just is a life or death situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take this into consideration, and how it's helpful that you can take clues from nature to help enrich people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. What about you, Linda?
Well, I learned how much more amazing honeybees are. I mean, besides, you know, helping us to pollinate plants, they create honey, and they also, you know, they're amazing at staying clean. So they have a lot of positive characteristics.
Right. You know, what's amazing is that it's not like anybody had to teach the honeybee how to do that. It just knows how to do that, you know? And again, I'm just amazed at the design of God, you know, how God created all of these animals, and he created the hairiness of the bee and the house fly. And it's just amazing to me. The details, you know, the details. Like, if it was me trying to create an animal, I would never think of these details.
Right, yeah. There's so much, to consider.
Yeah, so it's really amazing to see how much detail there is in nature and in animals, and how, you know, God thought about all these things. You know, how are these animals, these little creatures, going to, you know, stay clean? And, you know, I know we talked a lot about mosquitoes and how much we all do not like mosquitoes, but, you know, they are an important part of our world. And I actually looked this up because I did wonder why in the world God created mosquitoes.
Yeah, that's a question I have considered asking God when, you know, I'm in heaven, like, God, why did you create mosquitoes? Why?
Yeah. But, I mean, the truth is mosquitoes are an important part of our ecology, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, because frogs and other animals eat the mosquitoes and then, you know, and it goes up the food chain.
Right.
You know, and so it does make a difference.
Campbell, I want to go back a little bit. Did we ever answer your question, like, fully? Like, how it seems like a contradiction where the animal or insect has more hair.
Mm.
And yet it's able to stay cleaner.
Yeah, what do you think, Albert?
I think it's like, yeah, like because of the hair, it's able to collect more dust and particles. But because of it, like with the honeybee at least, it's able to snap and flick it off, so it's easier to clean.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like a little like best of both worlds, where it's like, oh, initially I will have more if I never take care of it.
Right.
But to clean it, it's so much easier.
To clean.
Yeah, so I'm guessing this is how they will apply to solar panels, where they will cover it in hair-like structures or fibers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it may collect even more over time, but if you want to clean it, it's super easy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting how they create that kind of self-cleaning technology and how they'll be able to apply this this information into technology and how engineers will use this new information. They'll install the hair-like things, structures on the surfaces, but then how are you going to clean the hair-like structures?
Right.
So that'll be interesting to find. And as Albert shared earlier about the shark skin, you know, it's really interesting what we can learn from nature and how we can apply it in our day-to-day lives. All right, friends. Well, I hope you found this article to be interesting. We asked some questions during this this lesson. For example, Linda's question, why does fruit have hair?
Or how can you not like strawberries?
Right. So if you have answers to those questions, do write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email is letters@studioclassroom.com. You can check us out on Facebook. As always, remember to look at our QR code at the top of page 22. There are some fun features and more information for you. All right. Well, tomorrow we have one more day, another interesting article to discuss with you. So please do come back and join us again then. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.